Dr. Havas, welcome to the Edge Television Broadcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
Appreciate you coming on the program, and the topic tonight, of course, we're going to be talking about 5G and the irradiating of our DNA, as far as I'm concerned. Man, that's a hot topic. There's a lot of controversy, but there's a whole bunch of people that want to shut that 5G conversation off. They want to put it right over there in the conspiracy realm, right next to UFOs and Bigfoot, you know, and insult people that disagree with the rollout. But before we get going, Doctor, why don't you sort of introduce yourself to our audience. Who are you? What do you do? And a little bit like that, a little social.
I'm a recently retired professor from a university called Trent in Canada, and I do research on electromagnetic pollution and healing therapies as well, so some of the frequencies can benefit your body rather than hurt you. And I work with people who have developed electrical hypersensitivity, which means that they're unable to tolerate even low levels of some of this radiation.
Mm. Mm. So the 5G network that's being rolled out now, I'm here in Indianapolis. This is one of the first cities to roll it out, and I see these stupid 5G towers everywhere. I don't feel real comfortable with seeing those, Doctor.
You shouldn't be comfortable. They're basically irradiating anyone within, you know, a few hundred yards of them, even if they don't want to be irradiated and even if they're not using the technology.
Mm-hmm. But we're not only irradiated with 5G. I mean, technically, I know even right now I am immersed in a field of Wi-Fi. My cell phone is inches away. I'm probably getting something from them. And people's cell phone calls all around is probably shooting through my head right now. I'm surprised I'm not picking up somebody's cell phone. So now we got 5G. It's a madhouse out there, Doctor.
Well, you know, 5G is just going to be more of the same plus a little bit of something new. One of the differences with 5G technology is they're going to introduce something called millimeter waves, which are very high-frequency microwaves. And no one's ever tested the long-term health effects of this radiation, yet they're going to be putting up hundreds of thousands of small-cell antennas outside of people's homes. They're irradiating everyone. They're putting up satellites to irradiate the planet. And they really don't know how this is going to affect humans and you know, other species. So it's a really foolish thing that the telecom industry is doing right now with the support of the government, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Now, every city or every country is not signing on to this 5G, but I did read that somewhere, as the government has approved the use of 5G, that they have limited or eliminated any lawsuit back against them. Is that right, or do you know?
That's right. Actually, first of all, it's very difficult to sue the government, for one thing. Secondly, the insurance agencies that are very good at assessing risk are not insuring anyone who promotes or generates wireless technology. So if you wanted to sue, for example, you know, one of the providers, you wouldn't be able to do that because there's no money available from the insurance agencies to cover the costs. Plus, they have done something really quite ingenious. In the manuals that you get for your iPhone or your BlackBerry or whatever device you have, your laptop computer, there's something under legal that states that you should not hold the device next to your body. And when it goes to court, and it eventually will, the cell phone provider will say, well, did you use the phone the baby recommended? And people will say, well, yes. And then they'll say, did you ever hold it next to your head? And, of course, most people have at some stage. And then they'll say, well, that's not what we recommend, and therefore we're not liable for you misusing the technology.
Mm-hmm. So what would happen if, say, a neighborhood that's immersed in 5G network and everybody's got the new $1,000 5G phone start developing cancer or something like that? You think there could be a class action lawsuit against that?
Well, that's already happening. There's an increase in glioblastoma multiforme, which is a fourth grade glioma, the most lethal, very hard to survive if you happen to be diagnosed with it. stage 4 cancer, which means it's actually metastasized to other parts of your body. But with that particular glioma, it's been shown to increase for people who use cell phones for at least 10 years. The risk is anywhere from 40% to 280% increase. There are California Registry, Cancer Registry, has reported an increase in the rate of this particular type of glioma in the frontal lobe of the brain and the lateral lobe, which is the highest levels of radiation from cell phone users, on the same side of your head that you hold a cell phone. And quite recently, there was an NTP study, the National Toxicology Program study, showing that rats develop gliomas when they're exposed to the 2G generation of cell phones. Mm-hmm. So we know it causes cancer, brain tumors. It causes other cancers as well. Mm-hmm. And it's something that hasn't moved the government to change its story at all.
Are there plans to use this 5G network with smart meters?
No, smart meters are quite different. Smart meters don't need the speed that 5G represents, so that's going to be reserved for things like smart cars. They're claiming that they'll be able to do operations at a distance with robots and things of that nature. So smart meters don't require the speed of 5G. But smart meters don't require to be wireless either. You're never going to move a smart meter, so why make it wireless? Why not wire the whole thing and prevent radiation from getting into the home and affecting people there? Mm-hmm.
I know that there have been backlashes against smart meters. But what is the reasoning that why are they saying we need this 5G network? Is it the internet of all things that your everything's going to be connected, including your loaf of bread? I mean, is that what is it?
Crazy, isn't it? Yeah. Well, that's what they're saying, that we need speed. I don't know of anyone who is saying I need more speed. So this is really the industry's way of making money. They're basically saturated the cell phone industry. So whoever's going to get a cell phone already has one, and they keep trying to make it more enticing by having different features on the cell phones, obviously, so you want to buy the latest model. But they're flattening out in their revenue income, and so they need to find something else that will keep them, one of the richest industries in the globe. Mm-hmm.
Now, what's going on with the beehives?
Okay, well, what we did is we took one beehive and painted it with a special paint that reduces radiation. It's a shield for radiation. And we took another beehive and exposed it to Wi-Fi, to a baby monitor, and to a cordless phone base station, all of which emit different frequencies, mostly 2.45 gigahertz, which is the same frequency you use for your microwave oven. And we turned it on and found that the bees, very close to the hive, and you're showing a picture of it right now, as soon as we turned it on, the bees became very docile, as though they just didn't have energy to do anything. And we didn't know if they were, dead or alive, because they were barely moving on the outside of the hive. And then when we disconnected the radiation, we turned the power off, the bees started to swarm out of the hive. They were very aggressive. They attacked all of the people who were there, including a dog, a farmer's dog. And there were swallows flying overhead, so the bees were actually attacking the birds as well. So they went from very docile while the radiation was on to incredibly aggressive when we turned the radiation off.
Mm. Wow, that's interesting. A key word that kind of stood out for me is docile. I don't know where you stand just on fluoride, but many people claim that our water is being fluoridated because it makes the population docile. I'm just wondering, is this a tech version of doing that to the population?
Well, it could certainly be. I actually did a little video clip on trying to reach people who were into conspiracy theories. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, because in order to know if there's a conspiracy going on or not, you have to get into the head of someone, right? It's what their intentions are. And I've never been close enough to that group to be invited to one of their meetings, so I don't know what they're actually thinking. But I did a fun video on population control, and I thought, you know, if we wanted to control the population, how would we do it without actually going out and killing people? I heard you earlier saying the Chinese are, you know, killing baby girls when they're born to make sure that they have a more of a male population. And so without going to that length, what could you do? Well, we're doing everything now that is interfering with reproduction. The radiation from a cell phone causes abnormality in sperms if you put a cell phone in your pocket for any length of time. If you use, the longer you use it, the slower your sperm are, the shorter they live. If you use it for a long time, you get deformities as well. And a lot of fertility clinics are beginning to realize that if they just tell their patients for the man to stop, you know, using his cell phone and stop putting it in his pocket when it's turned on, that it'll actually improve their success of having a child and getting pregnant. So it affects sperm. We don't know if it affects egg. It probably does, but eggs are harder to harvest than sperm. Mm-hmm. We know that it affects infants. So mothers who have used a cell phone or mothers who are sleeping in a Wi-Fi high area, they give birth to offspring that end up having developmental problems by the age of 6. And the incidence of ADHD and autism are increasing rapidly. It's not due entirely to this radiation, but I think this radiation has contributed to this particular problem. Mm-hmm. Kids that are being irradiated in schools with Wi-Fi, so even parents who don't want that happening have no choice, even though they have to sign a lot of forms if their children are going to go on a bus trip to give permission to take them on a bus. But for some reason, you don't need permission to irradiate children in a classroom. Mm-hmm. Wow. We have cell towers near homes. Now we're going to have multiple small cell antennas because of the 5G. So basically, we have smart meters that are radiating you on a regular basis, irrespective of what the industry tells you about it's only a few seconds a day, which is absolute nonsense. This smart meter produces dirty electricity as well, which is also biologically active and harmful. So what the telecom industry is doing and all of our, you know, the love affair we have with wireless technology, it's all contributing to reproductive problems, miscarriages, stillbirths, earlier births, and all sorts of problems. When they've done research with mice and rats, they found that after about 5 generations, the mice are sterile. So they're no longer able to, and they're irreversibly sterile. And if we're not going to take care of our next population, I think we're going to be in deep doo-doo. Mm. One of the things I tell people that what the future looks like to me, based on the research that I've been following, is that we're going to have anxiety-prone children taking care of their neurologically damaged parents. Because Alzheimer's disease is on the rise, and MS, and a lot of other neurological disorders.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, you know, you talk about the bees going docile. By the way, we had a hive. We had a hive that was a madhouse when we went to get the honey, and we had to go running from it. So I'm wondering if a 5G network stream hit it. But you also said they were docile. I'm wondering if the phone in a male's pocket is affecting his sperm guys, are they going to be so docile that they're not even going to go upstream and hit that egg? They're just going to say, yeah, screw it, I got other things to do?
That's right. Yeah, they're simply not moving nearly as quickly as healthy sperm. We've got a little video clip on that showing just after 4 hours of exposure how the sperm are doing really, really poorly, you know, after they've been exposed to Wi-Fi radiation. And so many people keep their laptop in Wi-Fi mode on their lap, so they're basically nuking their Johnson, which is a song that is available on the internet. You can look it up. It's absolutely fantastic. Nuking your Johnson. Be worth playing on your show.
Okay, you know what? That sounds like one of our shows. I was going to say, Doctor, you watched the Ranting Points, and yet you still answered the phone when I called. So I'm very proud of you. What do you think about that?
Well, you're very opinionated.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you answered the phone there. But yeah, I mean, you know, so yeah, this is, well, okay, so conversely, you said that the bees then got exceedingly angry. Moving that to the sperm guys, they're going to get angry. What are they going to do? They're going to go, they're going to hit everything. They're going to try to hit the heart and everything else. I mean, what's going on with them?
Well, I don't think there's a way for a sperm to get to your heart, but I might be wrong about that.
They're kind of stuck
inside the vagina. So.
Well, if they, you know, I mean, if they get all angry like the bees did, they're going to do something. Maybe they'll fight it out in there. I don't know. But they say nuking your Johnson. Okay.
Yeah.
Definitely sounds like an Edge song right there. Okay. So now we also are immersed in these Wi-Fi fields. Have you seen the video? Somebody was able to sort of colorize that. The actual field itself. Have you ever seen that?
With lights?
No, man. Some device that could see the waves.
It's oh, okay. Really you mean with the head and the cell phone next to the head?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been... that's a model of how deeply the radiation penetrates depending on the size of your skull, for example. So what they show, I don't know which version you have, but basically they're showing it penetrates much more deeply into a child's brain, partly because the skull is that much smaller and the distance makes a big difference. Mm-hmm. And if you develop a brain tumor in your midbrain, that's a lot harder to remove surgically than something that's right against your temporal lobe. So children are particularly vulnerable, and a number of governments have actually come out and said children shouldn't be using cell phones, there shouldn't be Wi-Fi in the classroom. So they're really coming out trying to warn the population, but we're not doing that in Canada. And we're not doing that in the United States either. And I think part of the reason is the telecom industry is just too powerful.
Now, obviously, you're from Canada. I've had a number of guests on the show from Canada. I got to ask you, it's a standard question, always asked on the Edge. Do you ever say, eh?
No.
Sounds good. Well, now Canada is a whole. It's a, to us down here in the States, man. Y'all like a foreign country up there. You got that guy named Trudeau, and it sounds like from what's coming out, he looks like he's a racist anyway. But the general atmosphere of Canadians, are they more sort of like West Coast liberals here in the United States, West Coast, East Coast, you know, where they're always, you know, politically correct, and do they, talking about the 5G network, do they see that as a threat normally, or do they see it as the promising tech and everybody else is a nutbag?
I don't think they've really thought about 5G, to tell you the truth. I mean, Canadians are pretty placid people, and believe it or not, Trudeau is not a racist. That was just a political ploy to, you know, we're in the middle of an election, so all things happen, gloves are taken off. So really, no one is aware of how serious a threat this is to the planet because of the propaganda from the wireless technology. I mean, they've just been promoting it as the best thing since, you know, cheese or whatever. Mm-hmm. And people just don't realize that they're going to be exposed to this radiation, and some of them are going to be adversely affected. Mm-hmm. The key effects are cancer that, you know, we've already mentioned briefly, mm-hmm. reproductive problems, particularly with sperm. There's over 24 studies now that are showing sperm are damaged. Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's not only, you know, sperm that are damaged, but it's difficult for men to have, a hard-on, believe it or not, if you don't mind my using that word, because of the changes it does to your body. Mm-hmm. I've talked to a lot of IT people, and they come up to me privately after one of my presentations, and they tell me they're not interested in sex anymore, and, mm-hmm. you know, they're really having a hard time performing. And so I think this is part of the problem. These aren't older guys. These are, you know, young men in their 30s, 40s, 50s, they should certainly have a strong sex drive still at that age, and they don't anymore. Mm-hmm. And so part of it, I think, is due to the wireless technology that they're exposed to all the time.
Yeah. Well, there must not be any 5G networks around here. All right, here's a question from earlier. It says, are you planning to commit suicide anytime soon?
Not at all.
I'm
an optimist. You know, I never thought we could get rid of smoking. The only time I smoked was when I was about 3 years old, trying my dad's cigarettes, and that was the last time. So I appreciate it when people don't smoke in my presence because I don't like the smell. But I never thought we would get smoking off airplanes, for example, and have smoke-free environments. We got lead out of gasoline. I never thought that would happen either. So we've gone a long way to improve what's happening. I think eventually when more and more people end up dying, and I hate to say that, but as more and more people become ill, eventually they're going to have to roll back on the 5G. Mm-hmm. And some of the other technology as well.
And Dr. Havas, that question really was not a facetious question. Because here in the States, people that have information that threatens the system always end up committing suicide. In fact, there was some lady that was on the Alex Jones show years back talking about she was going to expose people of 9/11. He asked her three times, "Are you going to commit suicide?" She said no three times, and a week later she hanged herself. And so it seems to be and then there's also this dead doctors don't lie thing. There's a whole list of herbal doctors that talk against cancer, various things, and they're all committing suicide. So I sure hope you take care of yourself and watch your back. All right, here's a question from Peter from Australia. He says, "Doctor, is there anything a person can do to protect themselves from the damage 5G can do to their health?"
Well, first of all, it's much more than 5G. It's also 4G and 3G and 2G. So, they're already exposed to that. And there's a lot of things you can do. You can minimize your exposure. That's one of the most important things to do. And there's ways of doing that. So, for example, I don't have Wi-Fi in my home. I connect through an Ethernet cable. I don't have a cordless phone in my house. I have a hardwired phone. So the levels of radiation in my home are really quite low. Compared to other homes where they have this technology. So part of what you're exposed to is something that you generate yourself, and you can simply replace those with wired connections. There's also paint and fabric and film for your windows that will shield against the radiation. Mm-hmm. So if the radiation is coming external to your home from a cell tower or neighbors, there's ways of shielding it that are available. And so once you've done that, if you want to maintain your health, I recommend a number of things for people to do, and I call it RIDE. RIDE is to reduce your exposure. The I stands for building up your immune system, because usually that's the first thing that's going to be compromised. The D stands for detoxing. If you have mercury in your body, for example, if you have metal amalgam in your body, we found that radio frequency radiation causes this to vaporize, and so you swallow it and then it gets into your system. So mercury is actually vaporized by radio frequency radiation. So people who go for MRI scans, for example, have more mercury in their saliva and urine after the scan than before. And the last part, the E for the RIDE, is emotional stability. A lot of these people are freaked out by the radiation. They see a tower and they think, oh my God, you know, it's harming me. And I think you really have to get your emotions under control, and you've got to tell yourself that this, you know, you can deal with this, you can recover if you're already sick, and not allow fear to penetrate and influence you, because that's going to do as much damage as the radiation.
Well, I told you to watch your back. I would tell the guys watching the show to watch your Johnson, but I got a feeling they're doing that already. Here's a question for you. So what about copper wire clothes? Is there such a thing?
They actually use silver rather than copper wire. So you can buy clothing that has silver fiber in it, and it will shield you against the radiation. It's usually coated with some cotton over top of the silver. Some people can wear it, and they tell me it really helps them. They have, for example, you could put it in your cowboy hat on the inside.
I like that.
And it would protect your brain. And those who get headaches tell me that it actually makes the difference. So they can be in a Wi-Fi area if they have their hat on, and it protects them. And they make vests out of this. They're making underwear out of this as well. The thing is, it's quite expensive. And some people who are very, very sensitive can't use the technology because it just affects them. They're so sensitive.
Is there a meter that somebody could get to measure the amount of radiation in your...
Yeah, and there's one I recommend that's very inexpensive and small, so you can carry it with you. It's called the Acousticom 2, A-C-O-U-S-T-O-M 2, number 2, and you can get it on Amazon.com. It's about $190, and it'll tell you whether the levels are high or low or safe, and it gives you a sound as well. And so you can, once you start listening to the sound, it will, you can identify what it is, because a Wi-Fi router sounds very different from a cell phone. Now, I've got some of these sounds on my computer if you wanted to hear them at all.
Well, sure.
Let me see if I can find them.
That'd be great.
Let me see. Okay. So, can you hear this? Whoops. Can you hear that? Or not? You couldn't hear it because...
Heard a bit of a buzz.
Can I unplug my headset for a minute?
Okay, try it.
Okay. Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a Bluetooth.
Wow.
This is a Wi-Fi. This is a cordless phone. This is a cell phone. This is a baby monitor. And this is a mother's monitor.
Very impressive.
Just plug me in again.
Wow.
Can you hear me now, or have we lost connection?
No, you were connected the whole time you were talking. That was awesome. Very impressive.
Okay, well, those are the sounds that we're hearing from this radiation when it's converted to sound. Can you imagine if you had to listen to that all the time? Like, it would drive you crazy.
Yeah.
So that's what our body is listening to all the time.
Mm. So let's just say... I called my wife, and all of a sudden, I say, "I want some bread. Go to the store and get some bread." How do I know that somebody's like driving down the highway just called up somebody else and they said, "Get some bread," and that cell phone went right through my brain? Is that possible?
Oh, of course, the radiation's going through your body, and your body's absorbing it. Water absorbs this frequency. That's why when we put something into a microwave oven, it heats up, it has water in it. So your cells are absorbing this radiation. And your body is trying to maintain homeostasis, which means it's trying to maintain its balance. And it's not the energy that's critical. Believe it or not, our bodies function on electromagnetic energy. So we're electromagnetic beings. And if you interfere with the signals, you know, our cells are whispering to each other electromagnetically. If you interfere with that communication, mm-hmm. you can throw all sorts of, functions, biological functions off scale. And that's what's happening. So it's interfering with our internal communication system. And that's what's causing a lot of the problems.
Wow. And there has been a rise of autism, like you said. Of course, now you didn't say it was completely due to that, but something is changing our health. Put Yahweh First says, the noises that you just played, do we hear those noises subliminally?
No, but your body feels them because they're basically frequency vibrations. So your body is feeling them subliminally and reacting to them.
Mm-hmm. All right. And a question from Dreamwalker, why do people have more mercury after an MRI?
What was the question? Sorry.
He said, why do people have more mercury after an MRI?
It turns out that radio frequency radiation in the microwave band stimulates the mercury and it begins to vaporize. So even if you took your tooth and when you're chewing on something with a mercury amalgam, it's rubbing the mercury, and some of that mercury will get into your saliva. So that's been shown over and over again. So it's really critical for people who have mercury amalgams to remove that mercury, although I know some people in the dental profession don't believe that's necessary. But it's one of the key sources, along with fish or with occupational exposure to mercury.
Well, doctor, it seems like I'm going to have to double the aluminum lining in my hat. But is aluminum going to protect me? Do I need something stronger underneath my hat?
Any kind of metal will help you. If you did put aluminum in your hat, believe it or not, it would disintegrate because of the radiation. People who put aluminum foil on their window find that it gets pitted and that's where the radiation is hitting the aluminum. So you need something a little bit stronger than aluminum, and that fabric I mentioned to you that's silver-lined is one of the best things that you can get.
Well, I'll tell you what, some people already are trying to steal my hat. If I put silver up there, man, I'm liable to get mugged. All right, here's a question for you. From Scott Richardson, he says, Doctor, I've heard some wireless engineers talking that said the 5G is transmitted in sawtooth waveform, and if they change back to, I'm going to mispronounce this, sinusoidal, it would cause tissue damage. Can you confirm?
Okay, I don't know if 5G technology is going to be in sawtooth. I would doubt that that's going to be the case. Sawtooth is very aggressive to the body. The sinusoidal wave or the sine wave, which is just basically a nice smooth wave, a sawtooth is more like this. Mm-hmm. So because it's more erratic, your body can't handle it as well. So I have no idea if they're planning on sawtooth. I've never heard that before. If they are, that's even more disturbing because that's even more biologically active.
But would you feel that this is part of a depopulation effort?
You know, once again, I'd have to get into the heads of people. Whether I think it's being done deliberately or not, I don't know. But it definitely has the effect of depopulation.
Mm-hmm. Is there any effort afoot in Canada to slow down or prevent 5G rollout?
Yeah, a lot of people are becoming mobilized at the municipal levels because they have to put these antennas somewhere, and they're usually putting them on streetlights. So they have to get permission from municipal governments to erect like hundreds of thousands of antennas in even a moderate-sized city. And right now, they refer to Health Canada, which is the equivalent of your Federal Communication Commission. And Health Canada says there's absolutely no danger, no harm. You know, people shouldn't be concerned. So when they go to the head health authority in Canada, they're giving them the wrong they're providing inaccurate information to the public. And so, you know, people are going to listen to Health Canada rather than Meg DeHavis or any other scientist who's going to speak against them.
Mm-hmm. Alrighty. And we have this question here. It says, is there an EMF shielding house paint that somebody could use?
Yes, there is. There's something called Y Shield, just the letter Y and the word shield. It's a black carbon-based paint that you can paint on your wall and then paint it over with whatever color you like. It will shield the radiation to a certain degree. And there's other products. I'm not quite certain what the brand names are for other ones, but there's other ones that are very similar. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I recommend that you don't paint your walls directly, because if you ever move and someone moves in there, they won't be able to remove that paint. Mm-hmm. And if they're using Wi-Fi, it'll just bounce all over the place, and they'll get even higher levels of exposure because mm-hmm. it acts a bit like a mirror, so it reflects the radiation. And so what I recommend is that they put wallpaper, inexpensive wallpaper on the walls, paint the wallpaper, and then it could just be ripped off.
Hmm. Okay, good advice there. Ela 0824 asks, how does colon dial silver work in all this?
Colon dial silver?
Colloidal silver. It was spelled in two words there, yeah.
Okay, colloidal silver, well, that's something people take internally. That's not the silver I'm referring to. I'm actually referring to silver metal that's, you know, present in the fibers for the technology. Now, people use colloidal silver to kill microbes in their gut and things of that nature. And that's something totally different than what I've been speaking about.
Mm-hmm. All right. Now, the follow-up question was, what was one of the best things you can get?
The best thing I think you can get is a meter and find out what you're exposed to. You will learn so much from that meter. Things that you think are not affecting you might be from your neighbors, for example. And then one by one, you can try to replace or mitigate that exposure. So the best thing you can get is that inexpensive Acousticom 2 meter to measure your radiation.
So when I'm looking at my phone, and I'm still in the 4G, and say I got four bars, do I get less irradiated when I see I get two bars or three bars? Could that just be a meter, like how much I'm getting nuked?
Yeah, actually, what it's measuring is how close the signal is from the cell tower, the nearest cell tower. And so your cell phone is talking to your cell tower, and it could be shouting, or it can be whispering. So the more bars you get, the quieter your cell phone, the less energy it needs to communicate, so the less radiation you're going to have. When it's roaming or when you're down to one bar, I really recommend you don't use your cell phone because you're going to be irradiated much more. And at any rate, you should hold your cell phone away from your body, you know, in your hand, or, you know, put it ideally down on a table so that it's not next to your head or any other part of your torso.
The negative health consequences that you're describing, do you think that there is some sort of cabal behind this, some worldwide organization that has discovered this technology somehow, knows what it can do, is rolling it out against our will? Do you think somebody's behind it, or is this just normal human enterprise increasing its ability to sell products?
Well, once again, I'm not part of that particular group, so I don't get information on them. So I tend to think it's really a function of greed and a certain degree of ignorance that's causing this to move forward. There's so much misinformation available on, you know, the internet and with the media, trying to say there's absolutely no problem and, you know, just walk down the road and, you know, just take it as it comes. But then there's all sorts of other things that are happening that don't make any sense to me. They're making diapers that have sensors in them, a little chip, that will phone your cell phone. Wow. When the baby wets. So it's good for number one, but it's not good for number two. Ooh. Which is absolutely ludicrous, okay? They have soothers that have a thermometer inside the soother, so it's a pacifier. So you place that in the infant's mouth when they have a fever, and it will tell you your cell phone what their temperature is. So we're telling people not to hold a cell phone next to their head, but we're putting a radio transmitter inside an infant's mouth while they're sleeping to give information to the mother. So these technologies should not be permitted, yet they are. So that kind of worries me. Why is the government not staying ahead of that, at least, when they're even saying it shouldn't be placed next to your body? So that doesn't make any sense to me at all.
So you're saying it can tell when a child urinates, but when he takes a dump, it can't?
No, it seems not like, that'd
be more. Now, to me, that'd be more important. I'm going to want to know if there's a big packed diapers sitting around.
I agree.
You know? So, hey, by the way, just really, because I really like talking Canadians. What's the talk about the United States?
Sorry, you're breaking up.
Okay. All right. Can you hear me now?
Take it. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is kind of an aside here. What do the Canadians talk about when it comes to the United States? How do they view us down here?
Depends who you talk to. Some people love Trump, some people hate Trump, and I'm sure it's the same in the States as well. So we're just a little bit more polite, I think, when it comes to discussing American politics than some Americans might be.
Yeah. Well, I mean, besides politics, just Americans in general, do you look at this like the illegitimate offspring of Canadians? I mean, you know, how do you guys see us?
Not at all. I have so many American friends. I mean, you know, I love the States. I love the people. I love going vacations there. So I'm a real fan of Americans. I know globally, different countries view the United States differently. You're a lot more aggressive than we are. You know, we're peacekeepers, for example, and try not to get our hands dirty fighting any kind of wars.
It seems like we always got to fight you guys' war for you. What's up with that? I don't even think Canada's paying their fair share.
Probably not.
When y'all gonna pay? Hey, though, is there a train that goes from one end of Canada to another?
Yeah, there is.
I think I want to take that. How long does that take? A couple weeks?
I'd love to take it too. Maybe we can go together. I don't know how long it takes. It takes at least a week, but not a couple of weeks. So it depends where you pick it up, whether you pick it up on the East Coast and take it all the way to the West, or pick it up in Toronto and go either way.
Okay. Now I'm really going to get serious with this question here. This is a bad question here, but it seems like I get a lot of information saying that there's a lot of Muslim immigrants coming into Canada. Is that true?
I don't know if we're taking any more than other countries are. Certainly, I think we're taking less than in Europe. obviously. Mm-hmm. But we're open to immigration. We, you know, have a slightly different policy than the United States for immigrants. For example, you have a melting pot where everyone becomes Americanized, whereas in Canada, we encourage people to maintain their own cultures. And so if you go to Toronto, for example, there's a Chinatown, there's a Greek village, there's an Italian section where even street signs are in Italian and English. So we enjoy people enjoying their own culture and not necessarily giving it up to become Canadians.
Mm-hmm. All right, question came in. Mr. Coffee says, what about magnetism? Are we getting magnetized?
No. Magnetism, when we're talking about the electromagnetic spectrum, we're talking about an electric field and a magnetic field. And that field is constantly vibrating, and it's vibrating at the frequency that's set. So 2.4 gigahertz is the frequency that your Wi-Fi vibrates, which is 2.4 billion times a second. So we're not getting magnetized, but we're exposed to a pulsed magnetic field.
Well, it sounds like just something else that happened to you. Hila asked, can these waves cause cataracts?
Yes, and that's been shown since, World War II, when microwaves were first used in radar. And one of the concerns was cataracts. So anything that heats your eyes, because we don't have blood vessels to get rid of the, lower the temperature, can cause damage to eyes, and mostly in the form of cataracts. So the two most sensitive parts on your body are your testicles, if you're male, and your eyes for cataract formation.
So is using a cell phone, is that like sticking your head in a microwave oven?
It's like exposing your head to microwaves. The microwave oven is much more powerful. Obviously, it's, heating the water. If a cell phone was as powerful as a microwave oven, we'd all be brain dead. And some of us are, but for different reasons.
So if we didn't have all these waves going around, the 5G network, 4G network, all these Wi-Fi and all this kind of crap, what kind of world would you want to see? I mean, what do you want the world to be? Do you want all that eliminated? What's your take on that?
Well, there are people who want it eliminated. I think I'm much more realistic. I actually really enjoy the technology. I just think we have to use it safer. So whatever can be wired, if it doesn't move, it doesn't need to be wireless, right? So a smart meter doesn't move, it doesn't need to be wireless. Your cell phone does move, so that does need to be wireless. So, rule number one, if it doesn't move, it doesn't need to be wireless. Rule number two, when you're not using it, turn it off, just like you do with lights, so you save energy. And once again, you're minimizing your exposure. Number three, keep the devices as far away from your body as possible, and that will reduce your exposure. So there are devices made in Europe for both cordless phones and baby monitors that are sound activated, which means they don't radiate until the baby cries, then they turn on, alert the mother that there's this radiation. You can't buy those phones here in North America. Mm-hmm. And indeed, it's hard to import them as well. And when you ask, the Federal Communication says, well, they interfere with wireless technology in this country because they're at a slightly different frequency. I mean, that's nonsense. What we need are manufacturers to step up to the plate, even if the government isn't asking them for this, and make devices that are basically not radiating until you're ready to use them. Believe it or not, they're making light bulbs that you can turn on with your cell phone, that you can dim with your cell phone, mm-hmm. and they're the equivalent of a Wi-Fi transmitter in your home. So can you imagine having multiple light bulbs just for the convenience of using your cell phone and giving you, brain cancer or interfering with your ability to reproduce? This is utter nonsense, and it has to come under government control.
In our Bear report, Bear reported to us some crazy stuff that's going on in this country where people can abort their babies and then take them out and get some bronze cast of their feet, take pictures with them. Total demonic activities, to say the least. I mean, I don't know if you heard it, but it was disgusting to anybody, any rational person's understanding. That kind of thinking, though, is more and more in this country. I mean, that just the weirdest thing you can ever imagine, that people even can contemplate, of depravity, you name it, is coming out in this country and is being attempted to be legislated. Could this wackiness be coming from people's the effect of all these 5G has turned their thinking, the rational thinking, into ridiculous nonsense?
Well, that's what some of the psychiatric community is saying, that it interferes with things like empathy. And so your feelings for another person are not nearly as strong, and so you don't feel their pain. And so you can then inflict pain without feeling, you know, you've got a consciousness about it at all. So, you know, more and more drivers having road rage. I think this is all part of the technology that we're using and the dehumanizing of people. I mean, young kids are becoming addicted to their cell phones. They don't know how to talk to another person unless they've got a cell phone in front of them. So social behavior addiction, all of these, anxiety are all on the rise, and some of it is attributable to the technology that we're using.
Yeah. I mean, when Trump got elected, groups of women started screaming. They joined together and they scream at the sky. We have some weird, sick game here in the United States is called the knockout game. You mentioned kids. Well, these kids are going around in major population centers, and then what they try to do is hit somebody's unsuspecting passerby and knock them out in the first blow. So I'm thinking that their minds have been irradiated, and there's nothing but mush and crap in there now. Is there any way to turn it around once the effects happen?
Yeah, a lot of people who have, I can speak for addiction, you can turn that around. And once people stop using the device for a few weeks and go through sessions, just like you would with, you know, AA, for example, the kids return to normal. Like they become, you know, loving part of the family. They renew their friendships with their friends, you know, on a very personal basis. So they return to what they used to be like before this addiction and this craziness.
Well, we must have more 5G than Canada does, because this country's kind of whacked. All right, so Peter from Australia said, do you think this is done for population reduction? I think we've addressed that. This question comes in, says, do Bluetooth earpieces for cell phones, are they just as bad?
Oh, they're just as bad. You know, people who even use the any kind of wired headset like the one I'm using, the radiation goes along the wire, so you're not really reducing your exposure that much. If anything, you're radiating your body at the same time. The best thing to do is to simply put the phone away from your head and talk on speakerphone. If you need to have a private conversation, this is the next best thing. And they have something called a blue tube, which means this much of the tube is actually hollow air tube.
Yeah.
And that means it's going to be further away. The radiation is going to be further away from your head. So that's one of the alternatives to using if you can't use a speakerphone.
Wow, man. It sounds like I got to give up all my tech, doctor.
No, just use it differently.
Well, I do like to turn the thing off. I have heard of that before. There have been doctors that claim that the cell phones can cause brain cancer. Is there any truth to that?
Oh, yeah. Well, we talked about glioma, so that's a brain tumor. There's also something called a meningioma, which is a brain tumor of the lining of the brain. And once again, they occur on the same side you tend to use your cell phone. So if you're a right-handed user, it's on the right side. If you're a left-handed user, it's on the left side. There's also something called a salivary gland tumor, and your salivary glands are here. And there's something called an acoustic neuroma, which is the nerve leading to your ear. All of those have been associated with increased incidence of cancers and tumors.
Okay. For those of us who use a lot of tech, what would be the first sign? What would be the very first thing we'd notice?
What people tell me is the first sign is usually they're holding their cell phone next to their head and they feel warmth in their hand, and they start developing a headache, and the headache will go away, you know, as soon as they stop using their phone initially. And then the next time, you know, continue to use their phone, the headache will be more severe and it will last longer. And sometimes it won't go away even after you've stopped using the phone. So it begins to last a longer period of time. So that's usually one of the first symptoms. And people who are really electrically sensitive, they can't tolerate fluorescent light bulbs because they give off a radio frequency. So if you're averse to fluorescent light bulbs, chances are you're probably electrically sensitive and you're reacting to the radiation rather than the quality of the light.
Now, I've heard people say that the fluorescent light bulbs affect them somehow. Never knew. But so you say radiation comes out of fluorescent?
Yeah. It's a low frequency RF radio frequency. It's in the thousands of cycles per second rather than millions and billions like with a cell phone. But it affects people just the same.
What about neon lights?
Neon lights, same thing. They have a gas in there that's being energized, and so they can have the same effect. Yeah.
Okay. What about the light that comes from my cell phone?
That's less of a concern, although screen time is critical. So if you're looking at a computer screen right now, there's ways of detecting whether or not your screen flickers. There's another relatively inexpensive meter you can get. And it's important not to have your screen flickering on a regular basis because that's just sending messages that's interfering with your homeostasis, your ability to regulate.
Mm-hmm. Somebody asked, Mr. Crofty says, what about breakthroughs in magnetism healing?
Okay. Well, that's another area I do research in. So this is quite positive as opposed to some of the negative things I look at. There's something called pulsed electromagnetic field therapy, PEMF therapy. And there's also light frequency therapy. And when I first started looking at this, I thought a lot of it was bogus, that, being exposed to this couldn't possibly help you heal. And we've done tests, and I'm now totally convinced that there are devices out there that will improve your blood circulation, that will reduce inflammation, that will get rid of pain, in some cases almost instantly, chronic pain that people have been experiencing. We've done research with people who have arthritis, their mobility increases, their pain decreases. So a lot of this PEMF technology is really very useful. And the same thing with light therapy. You can now shine lights on different parts of your body, and depending on the color of the light, it has different penetration capabilities. So red light, once again, goes deeply to help charge your cells in your body. The mitochondria are the little things inside of a cell that give you the energy, and so they get more power. And because of that, your cells then function so much more better, and you can heal from a lot of different illnesses.
We had a doctor on his program, Dr. Ted Noel, and he said that Hillary Clinton uses blue glasses to help her overcome Parkinson's disease. Have you heard of
that? Okay. I haven't heard of the blue glasses. This is a blue blocker glass, though. And so because it's late at night, it's, for me, it's 9:30. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to sleep after this conversation. And so this is actually blocking blue light from coming into my head, which then allows my melatonin production to function properly, which then allows me to sleep better. So there are blue blocking glasses that people are encouraged to wear if they're looking at a computer screen for a long time. But I haven't heard of blue light helping Parkinson's, although that doesn't mean it doesn't do it. I just haven't heard of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, she's going to need a double dose anyway because she's obviously a lunatic, so I think she must be already using 5G network herself. But so, all right, so Dr. Personally now, it sounds like you've taken a variety of measures. You say you don't use Wi-Fi, you're on a hard line, you got your special glasses, various things. Altogether, in totality, have you noticed an increase of health?
Well, I've suffered quite a few different things in my life, so I don't think I've suffered them as seriously as other people. I've had open heart surgery, for example, and I recovered from that quite quickly. I currently have metastatic breast cancer, and no one would be able to tell. I'm taking some chemotherapy, but I do a lot of alternative things that minimize any kind of side effects. So I function as a regular, normal human being. When I see others at the cancer clinic who are, unable to eat, they're nauseous, they're in really bad shape. So I feel I'm doing the right things to protect myself, and along with some alternative therapy for the breast cancer as well. So,
I mentioned some haters out there on the internet against you. Of course, everybody has haters. I got haters. It's just the way of the world. A lot of haters out there. But has anybody confronted you when you're out speaking?
Oh, well, you know, sometimes someone in the audience will attack something I've said or attack me personally verbally. Mm-hmm. I haven't ever been physically assaulted, but then I live in Canada and people don't necessarily okay. do that here.
Okay, oh yeah, Canadians are nice. I do notice you don't seem to have any mass shootings.
Well, fortunately not, yeah.
Now, what about guns? Is it illegal to own a gun in Canada?
No, you can own one with a license, so that's not a problem at all.
You just got to check with Trudeau, see if he gives you approval?
No, you don't have to check with him at all. He doesn't have that much control over that.
I ain't going to check with him with nothing, man, because he's always running around in skinny jeans. There's something wrong with that. Richard Brower asked this question. He says, Doctor, do phone protectors work? It's a pouch you put your phone in when you're not using it.
Yeah, they will shield against the radiation. If the pouch shields on all sides, though, you won't be able to use your cell phone because it'll block the radiation. And so they're having pouches that shield on one side and you put your cell phone next to it, and the pouch is against your body, so it will reduce the radiation mm-hmm. from the phone.
You mentioned earlier that the cell phones in a male's pocket affects his Johnson guys. But what about females? Are you guys okay? Everything work out for you guys?
Well, it's relatively easy to harvest sperm. It's relatively hard to harvest an egg cell. Mm-hmm. And so we know much less about the female reproductive system in terms of how it's reacting to the radio frequency and microwave radiation. There are people who obviously believe there's going to be some harmful effects genetically, but it's hard to get research on that.
Okay. All right, Jennifer Campbell asked this question. Does the 4G affect our cells on the water level, and will the 5G affect our cells on the oxygen level?
Okay, they all affect our cells on the water level, even 5G. One of the things they're saying about 5G is that it will not penetrate your skin very deeply. It's just a few millimeters of penetration in the skin. The problem is, if you touch your skin, all of your nerve endings are there as well. Mm-hmm. So it's going to affect your nerve endings. It's going to affect your neurological system, your hormonal system. This is how we get information from our world, by our skin. And so if you're going to do anything that damages that ability, it's going to be pretty serious. So even, you know, based on what they're saying about these millimeter waves having very minor penetration, did you know the U.S. Army or military uses 5G in something called, active denial system? Have you heard of that?
I have heard of active denial system, but I didn't know that it had to do with the 5G.
Yeah, they use 5G, 95 gigahertz, 95 billion cycles per second, and they aim it at a crowd, and when they turn it on, there's intense heat on the surface of the skin. Yeah. So basically, they're boiling your sweat cells on the surface of your skin, and you know, people just can't tolerate it, so they have to get out of the way. And if they ever turned up the antennas, whether from the satellites or from, you know, the small cell antennas we have on street corners, they can begin to use them as a weapon as well against the population.
Bastards. Well, population control again. But I'll tell you what, when I saw what the active denial system can do, I was thinking, man, we need to put that on our southern border. Who needs a wall when we can use the active denial system? And speaking of the wall, you Canadians ever feel like you want a wall on the northern United States border to keep us out?
Not at all. Not at all.
All right. Well, listen, man, what I think they need to do is this southern border thing we're dealing with tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of migrants, just have a like a trail just going up to Canada. Because I think you guys got the room and you got a big old heart. And I think you guys can take them all in. What do you think?
We do. We have a big heart and we have the room.
Mm-hmm. And you got a lot of money to pay for them too, right?
Not so much, but I don't know.
Okay, so you've had some health issues. Let me ask you, how does your, you have a nationalized health care? How'd that work out?
It works out really well. Obviously, it's something that's hard to keep going because we've got an aging population, more people getting sick. Mm-hmm. So we have to figure out how we'll pay for the health care. But if we reduce the radiation, it would mean a lot fewer people getting sick, and it would go a very long way in ensuring that we can continue having that kind of health care system.
But if you had a couple million immigrants from South America, would that help your insurance ability or lessen it?
Well, you know, the more people there are, the more we have to spread things around. So obviously it would be provide some hardship. And you have to figure out as a country, you know, what's more important to you, and can you raise the funds to do that? Will other Canadians suffer? And if the answer is, you know, we can do it, or, you know, we can minimize suffering, the negative effects, then, you know, probably go ahead and do it.
Mm-hmm. So you personally, let's just say you had two health issues, would you say, they can take my second issue, healthcare, that I would get, and just give it to an immigrant, and you'll just deal with it yourself? And then would you split your healthcare to give to an immigrant coming up there?
Well, a lot of the healthcare I do is alternative, and that's not covered by our government. So I'm already paying for quite a bit of my healthcare that's not covered.
Well, it doesn't sound like it's going to be all that fun if millions of people come up there. I think we're having to deal with that down here. In fact, our some of our Democratic candidates for president are saying that anybody that comes into our country should get free lifetime health care, and they've never paid a penny into the system. That don't sound all that good, Doctor.
Well, you know, my parents emigrated to Canada, so I wasn't born in Canada. I was born in Hungary. You don't look Native American Indian, so I assume somewhere your ancestors came from another country as well. And the United States accepted you,
yeah,
you know, much
did.
To some people's surprise,
yeah, because,
I guess.
Well, see, my ancestors came over here, and they worked, and they helped build the country, you see. But there's a lot of people just coming over here getting a check. So it's a little bit different because, see, there's a whole, we were talking about scrambled brains a while back, you know, like women screaming at the sky in the knockout games. The whole culture has changed. So it's not there's not a work ethic that comes with immigrants now. So it's almost not a fair comparison because I know that people who came through Ellis Island back in the day, they wanted to be Americans. They wanted
That's
to work
right.
hard. They did whatever it took, whatever kind of work. They didn't say, give me stuff. They said, I am going to work for this. But there's a whole new mentality now that we're dealing with. So it's really not on the same level. Now, here's a question from our moderator, Jay. She says, is ultrasound technology safe for unborn children?
Well, you know, there's some new information out about ultrasound saying it might not be as safe as we originally thought. And so you want to minimize how many images you get of your fetus when you're pregnant, to make sure that you're not doing any potential damage. Now, ultrasound is different than electromagnetics. Ultrasound is actually a sound wave. And ultra means it's above our ability to hear, but it's a vibration that's being put through the body to get information. So my advice would be minimize, you know, if you want to get one or two, and if you're having a difficult pregnancy, you might need that ultrasound to help. But just for, you know, the fun of taking a picture of your fetus, you might want to take a different route.
Well, it sounds like what you're saying is we can use the technology we have, but just a little bit be more aware of it. I guess sitting next to a Wi-Fi router with your cell phone on may not be all that good of an idea. Sounds like what you're saying.
That's right.
So, okay, well, I mean, so there's some small steps we can take, and it seems like it's sort of like healthy eating. You know, there are steps you can take to eat food. Now, you yourself, when it comes to food, is your diet organic or not organic or vegan, or what? Where are you coming out on that?
Well, I love food.
Okay, good.
So that's one of my weaknesses. When I learned I had cancer, I actually went on a type of ketogenic diet to minimize the amount of sugars and starches coming into my body just so I wouldn't feed the cancer. But I'm not on a strict diet right now. I try to eat as healthy as possible, but I do love fast food every once in a while when I don't have the time to cook it myself. So I'm not a Puritan in that regard at all.
Do you like a hamburger?
I love a hamburger.
All right, so there's hope. Hey, I'll tell you what, man, if I'm going to get irradiated, as long as I can have a hamburger while that's going on. Now we're getting in some fun here, man. We were all doomgasm up till now. Now we're going to eat. What about seafood? A lot of people say it's not good.
Well, with seafood, what you want to eat is the smallest organism possible. So sardines, for example, they're on the very low end of the food chain.
Yeah.
And because of that, the amount of toxins in their body is much less. Tuna is one of the worst things you can eat. Salmon is much better because it's not as high as tuna on the mercury scale. So you really want to minimize how much seafood we eat because we've polluted our waterways. Like we're just not very good stewards of this planet. We're really screwing up, and it shows in almost everything that we end up doing.
You know, that I agree with you there, and I'm just talking. You know, we got Fukushima out there. You know, out in the Pacific Ocean, there's fish out there with three heads now. I mean, it's creepy. You know, monsters coming up, roaming the West Coast. It's I don't want to eat food out of there. But and then, what do you think about the chemtrails? Are those real?
Well, they're definitely chemtrails as opposed to contrails, which is condensation. So there's a chemical that's being released. I've been told it has high levels of aluminum in it, and that it's intended for some sort of climate control. But it's potentially having adverse effects on people who are breathing it in when it, you know, falls to earth. So chemtrails don't make any sense to me. I don't know why the government's doing it. I don't think we're given all the information about it, but I'm not an expert on chemtrails by any means.
So we have chemtrails, we have pesticides, we have GMOs, we have 5G network. Is there any hope for mankind?
I'm a forever optimist, so the answer is definitely there is hope for mankind. Unfortunately, I think a lot of the adverse things are going to happen in the United States before they happen in other countries. Already countries are preventing 5G from taking place. A lot of European countries don't allow genetically modified foods, to be sold. So it's really the U.S. that's on the forefront of all of this, and it's the U.S. citizens that are going to suffer more than anyone else. And at least first, earlier than other people.
Hey, why do we got to suffer first? Why don't you guys do it?
Because you want to be number one in everything.
Well, yeah, we kind of got that Western, Old West mentality, you know, man. That we like our guns. Like our meat. We like our meat and steaks and everything. But we got presidential candidate. Well, not presidential candidate, but a member of what we call the squad down here. I don't know if you guys got a squad up there. But there's a squad member named AOC. She's from New York, and she says that all meat should be done away with because she don't like cow farting. She don't like meat. She don't like planes. This is kind of where we're at. But it doesn't sound like that conversation is taking place in Canada. You're not fighting it out like we do. How come?
I think we're just quieter than you are.
Well, wait a minute. Okay, so you're quieter, but doesn't that mean that you guys have been more irradiated? I could use the word docile.
We are docile. That's true. I'm trying to get that changed at the municipal level before the 5G gets rolled out, but I don't think we're going to be very successful in that. When it comes to cows farting, mm-hmm. That's not contributing to climate change. That's a misnomer. Carbon that those cows consumed was within the year. So that's just contributing to the cycling of carbon. Mm-hmm. It's really the fossil fuels that were, you know, made into used carbon, mm-hmm. you know, millions of years ago. Those are the ones that are contributing to climate change, not the agricultural community. Mm-hmm. And cutting down trees is contributing to climate change too, because there's less, you know, carbon being produced by the forest in Brazil, for example.
Well, since you're all docile up there, could I take away that you guys y'all been fluoridated?
Oh yeah, we're fluoridated.
Well, you know, again, there are countries that have resisted fluoridation, and I think there might even be some U.S. cities, at least a couple of them, that's not. Fortunately for us, we're on a well, and I tell you, if we were on public water, I would never drink it.
Yeah, well, I don't drink, we filter our water that comes into my home, so it goes through a very detailed filtration system, so we get rid of some of the fluoride, but probably not all of it, and I don't agree with fluoridation at all, so that's another issue. I don't believe in mercury amalgam fillings, you know, yet the dentistry community still putting them in. So there's a lot of things we're doing wrong, and I don't quite know why people aren't learning from their mistakes and making it a safer environment for all of us to enjoy. Mm-hmm.
back in the 60s here in the U.S., there was a song playing on the radio called In the Year 2525. And it says, in the year 2525, will man still be alive? Doctor, will man still be alive? Are we doomed?
I don't know. I honestly don't know. 2525 is too far away to predict. You know, we might be doomed as a species, and, you know, levels of the population might go down quite a bit if we don't improve what we're doing and how we're treating the environment. But the Earth is going to survive. Mother Earth is going to survive, and it might have different species. But, you know, 10,000 years ago, where I am right now in Canada, we were under hundreds of feet of ice. And that's all changed. So, you know, it's a way, nature has a way of recovering and coming back. So Mother Earth is going to survive. Whether humanity does really depends on us.
So the people listening to this program, what should they take away from this interview tonight?
Well, you know, I would strongly encourage them to purchase one of those acousticom meters so that they can measure their own environment, find out what they're exposed to. If they think or if they don't want to be exposed or if they think they're sensitive, I would encourage them to turn off the electricity in their home, except for their, you know, fridge and freezer, and see if they sleep better, if some of their symptoms improve. Many of the symptoms that we associate with electrohypersensitivity are ones that we get as we age. And so people will tell me that, oh, no, I'm not electrically sensitive. I'm just getting older. And it's normal for old people not to be able to sleep, to have pains, aches, you know, to forget things, to not be able to think clearly, to have brain fog, to become anxious or fearful or depressed. And yet a lot of these people, if they're in an electromagnetically clean environment, many of those symptoms will either disappear or diminish. And so it depends entirely on whether you want to live as healthy a life as possible. If you do, you have to minimize your exposure. And the best way to do that is to know what you're exposed to and to measure it.
In Greek mythology, Mars is a warrior. And, of course, we have the planet Mars. I'm just wondering, did the planet Mars impregnate the Earth, have sex with the Earth, and that's how we got the moon?
I haven't heard that one.
Well, I mean, you know, Mother Earth, I mean, to be a mother means you have to have a child. So I'm figuring the closest child would be the moon. I mean, it's, you know, and the moon does kind of hang close to mama.
It could be.
Okay. All right. So I think we've covered all the topics, but I want to make sure, is there anything you came prepared to talk about that we didn't touch on tonight, Doctor?
Well, you know, one of the things I'm really concerned is Wi-Fi in schools, in the classroom. I really think schools have to return to hardwiring. It's really irresponsible of them to expose these kids. There are more and more kids that are having heart palpitations. They're having difficulty thinking in the classroom. They're experiencing brain fog, and no one's listening to them. The teachers in Canada who have spoken out about Wi-Fi in the classroom are being threatened with dismissal. So we really don't have a free country anymore. Most of us don't have a voice. We don't have a choice in what's going on. And when that happens, we don't have democracy. And that's happening both here in Canada and it's happening in the United States. And part of it is lack of information. So shows like yours that are bringing alternative views to the public, I think, are extremely important. And they can decide what they want to, you know, think about them and what they want to do. But at least they have some options that are provided, and they can improve the quality of their life and their families and their loved ones if they want to. And this is really important.
Okay. Well said. Well, Dr. Havas, I appreciate you coming on the Edge Television broadcast. Can we have you on again sometime?
Anytime.
I appreciate you coming on the program, eh?
Eh?
All right.
Thanks a lot, Dan.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.